The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So I was reading your liturgical calendar back there, well, the one with the provisos provided by Burrison, and I learned it was Our Lady of Lourdes Day today. So it was very tempting to preach on 1 Corinthians 14 with Our Lady of Lourdes and et cetera, but I come over here to preach so few times that I decided to do something I don't do often, and that is to choose a different text. 1 Timothy 3, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Luther translated this beginning with his famous catechism words, Das ist je gewisslich wahr. This is most certainly true. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires to be a bishop, he desires a good thing. And it is a good thing. God says it's so. It's a good thing you're seeking. And God loves you as you seek it. And he's pleased in Christ. It's good to desire to be a pastor. However it came about, whether through your parents, school teachers, pastors, your wife, or any of the manifold stories that all of you have, and each of you has a wonderful story. And it's a fantastic vocation to shepherd somebody into the church, to bear witness to Christ, to see the eyes light up when a person first actually realizes the glorious grace of the gospel. To bring a family into the church, lock, stock, and barrel. To go with those same people and suffer with them through their worst times. And I can tell you, after 30 years in this business, there's nothing that I have not heard. Yet to go through people in their worst times, to absolve, and then be with the same people in their best and most joyous times. At weddings, at the birth of children, at times of forgiveness. There's nothing like it. It's the greatest vocation on earth. It really is. Now, to be a bishop, episkopos is the word, an overseer. Somebody has said the problem of the Missouri Synod is not that we don't have bishops. The problem is we have too many bishops. That is, every parish pastor is an overseer, according to Paul in the New Testament. We have, by human right, president of synod, president of district, circuit visitors. They are of the bene esse of the church, the well-being, but they are not of the esse, the essence of the church. And Paul tells us what a bishop is, and we find out elsewhere, when he and Barnabas were visiting the churches where they had preached the gospel, Acts chapter 15, they went back to visit, and Paul says, returning, Epistrepsestha, episkepsomatha, episkepsomatha, let us bishop them. It's translated, let us visit them. And so Luther says, a bishop, and this is a pastor, is a visitor. If you ain't wearing out your shoes, you need to get into some other business. It's a living and mighty active ministry because it's driven by that same word. Now, I must tell you, over the last 8.5 years, the most sobering moments in my job have been those times where at the end of every Council of Presidents meeting, the council considers the reinstatement of brother pastors and church workers who have fallen off the roster. According to our bylaws, every pastor who has fallen off for some reason, any reason, cause, or simply left, has the right to petition the council to come back on, and it takes a 75% vote to come back on. In 8.5 years, nobody who has gotten involved sexually with somebody other than his wife has ever been brought back on. In many cases, sad to say, men that apply to come back don't see that they did anything whatsoever to make a negative situation with their wife or a former parish. I'll tell you, it's very sobering. And the first time I went through this event, I thought, God help me. May my name never come up in this forum. Because I, like you, have the sinful flesh hanging right around my neck too. And you know very well the devil would like to take us all down. Take a pastor down, you create one big mess. The devil brings unfectum, troubles. Or he brings praise and puffs you up. Oh my, you're a wonderful vicar. Oh, your parents think you're the cat's meow. Oh my goodness, that congregation thinks you're the greatest. Oh my, you preach so much better than your supervisor. You're the best, that's the best sermon I've ever heard. Oh wow, you've got such gifts, God's really going to use you. Pride goeth before a fall. And the world will attack you. You will desire the praise of men, and you will be attracted away from the Word of God and its clarity to seek that praise. And you'll be deceived at times. And you'll be plagued by the flesh at times. A bishop must be blameless. Husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. You think you'll get your sins together when you leave this place and you get into the parish? You keep your pet sins, you keep your heart locked against Christ's word. What are those sins you close in your heart tight and refuse to unlatch? You hear the word of God preached in the law telling you're a damned sinner under the law. You deserve nothing but hell, but you hold those pet sins. And you think somehow when I get out to be a pastor, it'll be different. I'll pray every day and I'll be surrounded by faithful people and then it'll go just fine. In reality, you'll be facing an onslaught 100 times more challenging than the one you face right now. And the devil will be looking for your downfall. And what glee he has whenever it happens. All the effort, all the work, all the time, the faith lost, shaken. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. It is a good work to desire. Jesus says, pray the Lord of the harvest, send workers. Schwann said one time, be careful when you pray that prayer that Jesus says to pray. That's the first step for all seminaries and everybody else. Pray the Lord of the harvest, send workers. Schwann said, be careful when you pray that way because he'll get the money for the seminary from you. And then he said, be careful, don't pray it anymore, because if you do, he'll send you to the seminary. God loves the work and vocation that you are about to take on. The vocations of deaconess and other church workers too. The vocations of seminary professor. God loves those vocations. And when he gives a vocation, He promises to give you what you need to sustain you. And you'll find out, you'll get out there. I always say a pastor in the Missouri Synod is no good unless he's got his rear end handed to him by a voters' assembly. I've had mine handed to me by a couple of very large voters' assemblies on occasion. And you'll realize that you're not of yourself God's gift to the church at all. And you will be humbled. You will make mistakes. You'll repent. And you'll come back renewed because the word of Christ forgives you. You are Christ's own. Your sins are as white as snow. They are cast as far as the east from the west. And the Lord will place you exactly where he would have you among God's people. And he will sustain you through his blessed word, through his sacraments, and through the wonderful conversation and consolation of the brethren. God grant it for Christ's sake. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.